Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Text number 37 today, Text number 36 today. Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Buddhyatmana Vanusruta Swabhavat Karoti yattad sakalam parasmai Narayana yeti samarpayetat Kayena vacha manasendriyairva Buddhyatmana vanusruta swabhavat Karoti yad yad sakalam parasmai Narayana yeti samarpayetat Kayena vacha manasendriyairva Buddhyatmana vanusruta swabhavat Karoti yad yad sakalam parasmai Narayana yeti samarpayetat Bhavat Karoti yad yad sakalam parasmai Rayana yeti samato yeti yad Manavanusruta Swabhava Sakalam Parasmai Matajis. Anusruta Swabhavat Yad Yad Sakalam Parasmai Nayeti Samarpayet Yad Kayena vacha manasendriyerva Atmana vasunu swabhavat Karoti yad yad sakalam parasmai Narayana eti samarpayeta We'll read word to word translation. Kayena, with the body. Vacha, speech. Manasa, mind. Indriye, senses. Va, or. Buddhya, with the intelligence. Atmana, the purified consciousness. Va, or. Anusrita, followed, swabhavat, according to one's conditioned nature, according to one's conditioned nature, karoti, one does, यद यद वॉट एवर सकलम ऑल परस्मै टू द सुप्रीम नारायणाय इति थिंकिंग दिस इज फॉर नारायण थिंकिंग दिस इज फॉर नारायण समर्पयेत ही शुड ऑफर तत् दैट ट्रांसलेशन एंड देन द पर्पोर्ट्स बाय द हम्बल सर्वेंट्स ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन In accordance with the particular nature one has acquired in conditioned life, whatever one does with body, words, mind, senses, intelligence, or purified consciousness, one should offer to the Supreme thinking, this is for the pleasure of Lord Narayan. So part of this purport has been covered already. We'll read from the part we have been allocated. It should be understood that as long as one identifies oneself in terms of the Varnashram Dharma system rather than as part and parcel of Krishna, one is still on the platform of Ahankar or false ego. Because the Varnashram system is designed according to the modes of nature acquired by the living entity through his material body. But the Acharyas have emphasized in their commentaries on this verse that such a false ego by which one identifies oneself as a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Sannyasi, Grihastha and so on, should also be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, when one becomes very much attracted to hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord, and not merely offering him the fruits of one's work, one has attained a stage called Swarupa Siddha Bhakti. Or the stage in which actual devotion becomes visible. The example may be given that although any good citizen will pay his taxes to the government, he may not necessarily love the government or its leaders. Similarly, a pious living entity can understand that he is working under the laws of God. And therefore, in accordance with Vedic injunctions or the injunctions of other scriptures, he offers a portion of his assets to the Supreme Lord in religious ceremonies. But when such a pious person actually becomes attached to chanting and hearing about the personal qualities of the Lord, and when love thus becomes visible, he is considered to be reaching the mature stage of life. In this regard, Srila Jiva Goswami has quoted several verses that very nicely show the development of love for Godhead. So this is some Sanskrit shlokas and an English translation. Anena durvasana dukkha darshanena sa karuna maya karunam karotu. May the merciful Lord show mercy on me by demonstrating the misery created by sinful desires. Ya pritir avivekanam vishayeshu anapayini tvam anusmarata same ridayanna upasarpatu. Unintelligent persons have unflinching affection for the objects of sense gratification. Similarly, may I always remember you so that the same attachment applied to you never leaves my heart. This is Vishnu Puran, 1st Canto, 20th Chapter, 19th Shloka. Yuvati nam yatha yuni, yunam cha yuvatau yatha, mano abhiramate tadvan, mano me ramatam tvai. As the minds of young girls take pleasure in thinking of a young boy, and those of young boys take pleasure in thinking of a young girl, may my mind take pleasure in you. Mama sukarmani dushkarmani cha yad raga samanyam tad sarvato bhavena bhagavad vishayam eva bhavatu. Whatever attraction I have for pious or sinful activities, let that attraction be wholeheartedly invested in you. This is the end of the purport. Then tomorrow onwards there will be the next shloka. So this is a very famous shloka. Many of us have heard this, a similar version of this. I had heard a version in which the second line is buddhyatmanava prakritir swabhavat, something like that. So this is a very encouraging verse for every one of us who's struggling, who's trying to understand our relationship in connection with the Supreme Lord. Whatever you have, whatever you have, kindly offer it to Krishna, kindly offer it to Lord Narayana. Very encouraging. I read one line, so this line says, for things to remain the same, they must change. As we all know, the only thing permanent in life is change. So what this line is essentially saying is, there is a deep desire in all of us for preservation. Let things remain the same. Whereas the nature of this world is, time factor is fully active and it is constantly changing this world. So you want things to stay the same, but time is already changing it. So if you really want things to stay the same, it means you also have to change to undo the change created by time, and in that way try to achieve preservation. But no matter how many of us have tried for preservation, how many of us have tried, no, I want this to stay forever. Time is always strong. Time is always changing. So just as I was offering obeisances here, one devotee came to me and told me that today is Akshaya Tritiya. So kindly speak about Akshaya Tritiya. And then there are so many messages going around, what is Akshaya Tritiya? And then many of those were how something you do on today, it was an auspicious day, it won't get destroyed. Or there are good, very auspicious effects. So that's the primary motivation for somebody to celebrate on Akshaya Tritiya day something. Or he's purchasing property today. One devotee was sharing how this whole thing about purchasing gold on Akshaya Tritiya is actually a modern thing invented by the jewelers. So that on this day, because in the traditional, there's no such thing as one day you purchase gold. Anyway, so we are not taking any sides. But the point is, there is always this tendency that, is there some muhurta? Is there some day on which if I do, I start something, it won't perish. It will stay. So we have two examples here, just to have a short reference. Mahabharata, there is a story of Akshaya Patra. So this, the Pandavas going to the forest, and then they are followed by the students, they call Snatakas. And then Yudhishthir Maharaj is saying, I can't have some dependents around me and not being able to take care of them. It will hurt me, so kindly don't come. And their reply is, if you say what is right, and then we choose to stay back. But who's the ruler here now? The ruler is Duryodhan. So we can't be citizens of a king like Duryodhan. Better is, we don't get good food with you, but we would like to follow you. So then he is thinking how to feed all of them, the many of them, thousands of them. So then that story comes how, Akshaya Patra, the Surya Dev, the sun god, gives them Akshaya Patra. So Akshaya means something that will never go down. Kshaya Rog. Kshaya Rog is TB. Your body goes Kshaya. So this pot will just produce unlimited food. And yes, it does. But there is a condition. The condition is Draupadi. Till the time Draupadi eats, this will produce unlimited food. And then we have one story how Duryodhan, he understands this condition. So anything that is Akshaya, which we feel is Akshaya in this world, and Krishna is describing this world as Ashashvatam. So we want Shashvatta in an Ashashvatam world, inherently Ashashvatam world. And then we don't see that small asterisk mark, the condition mark. But Duryodhan understands this. There is that asterisk mark when Draupadi eats. So he requests Durvasa Muni to visit the Pandavas at a particular time, not in the morning, in the afternoon time, post Draupadi's lunch. And the Durvasa does that. And then what happens? It's a big fix. You want to honor, but then you don't have food because Draupadi has already taken. And that time, Krishna steps in. And Krishna takes that one small, it is said, sometimes it is a spinach. There was some small spinach portion there in the pot. Takes it, eats it. And then the sages accompanying Durvasa Rishi, they are fully satisfied. So this shows how it is called Akshaya. But because it is something of this world, it actually cannot be Akshaya. When some conditions are fulfilled, then you can say, as long, Akshaya. Like we say many times, demigods are amara. They don't die. If demigods don't die, why are they hungry for Samudra Manthan? Why are they eager for Samudra Manthan? Because out of Samudra Manthan, the thing that was supposed to come out was Amrut. So Amrut ke liye pura sab mehnat kiya. So if they are not going to die, why do they want Amrut? And it's not that only demons wanted Amrut. Both parties wanted Amrut. So much so that they made a pact with each other. For this common cause of Amrit, we don't want to die. Let's join hands together. Coalition. It means they also die. But then why do we call them Amar? We call them Amar because from our perspective, it's an exceptionally long time. And practically there is no old age and practically there is no disease. There is just birth and there is death. So that's why we call them Amar. But actually they also die. So then what is Akshay in this world? What is the fault of Hiranyakashipu? What is the fault of Ravan? The fault of Hiranyakashipu and Ravan is they want to be Amara in this world. And Prahlad is saying, you want Amaratva, there is another world meant for that. Yasa sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu na vinashyate. Everything else is lost, that is never destroyed. So our fault is we want Akshay in a world that is inherently forced to be Kshay. And then the only way to do it is when Krishna steps in, then that Akshay actually becomes Akshay, otherwise it is Kshay. Another reference which I would like to quote is, in the Ramayana it is mentioned how when Hanuman went to Lanka, so he has met Sita Devi, then after meeting Sita Devi, he thinks, I can't just go empty handed, I have to disturb these people here. So there is this one called Pramadavan, Ashokvatika. So he starts destroying it. And after he destroys it, he stands on the gate. So as standing on the gate, he is announcing, I am Hanuman, I am servant of Lord Ramchandra. And then this news goes to Ravan. So then Ravan, first batch he sends is of 80,000 Rakshasas. They are called Kinkaras. So Lord Ramchandra had killed 14,000 soldiers in Nasik. Here it is 80,000 soldiers. And this one alone, Hanuman, he kills all of them. Then again this news goes to Ravan. He says, okay, don't worry, I'll send some more. By that time, Hanuman has started destroying their Kula Devata, so Chaitya Prasad. There is a temple for the Kula Devata of the Rakshasas. So he says, I'll destroy this also. Then he started to destroy. So there's a second regiment of thousands of Rakshasas. Then Hanuman kills them also. Then he says, okay, now enough of these ordinary Rakshasas. I have to send somebody powerful. So he has four main advisors, Ravan. One of them is Prahastha. So Prahastha's son is Jambu Mali. So he says, you go and you kill. But what does Hanuman do? It is that Hanuman pushes his head in his fight. He pushes his head into his body. Crushes Jambu Mali's body with Jambu Mali's head. So there's a big mass of flesh there. So Jambu Mali is killed. Ravan says, this is too much now. So now I have to increase the quantity. So he sends seven sons of his ministers. Hanuman kills them also. Then he sends five of his generals. Virupaksha, Yupaksha, Durdhar, Praghasa and Bhaskarada. Hanuman kills them also. So one by one, Ravan is getting alerted. Please wake up. There is no thing Akshay here. Then what does he think? He says, abhi ek bar to main try karta hun. So he has one son, he's called Akshay Kumar, or sometimes he's also called Akshay Kumar. No references to anybody intended. So this Akshay Kumar, his name is Akshay. He won't die. And probably that is the reason why he is chosen by Ravan to send. But then what happens? He is also killed. So this is another example, something which is called Akshay. Ravan himself is a very good example of being Akshay. He had that pride. Nobody can kill me, nobody can hurt me. It is mentioned how at one point of time he even went to Yamraj's abode on his own. He's just going there. I want to show to Yamraj how powerful I am. So he has that much faith to challenge the person who's Dandadikari, is in charge of the Justice Department. Usually people fear Justice Departments, is it not? He is the one who challenges. He has that kind of pride. I am Akshay. I am a very powerful person. He sends his son Akshay Kumar. But then devotees. So previously we saw how Krishna intervened and now we see how devotees intervened. So essentially we come to a conclusion that there is nothing in this world that is Akshay. Demigods are also Kshay. Rakshasas are also Kshay. So then if everything is temporary, what is the best use of all that we have? The best use of all that we have is we have to think how to use this constructively. How to use this for my shreyas and how to use it for others' shreyas. Not prayas, not short-term benefit, long-term benefit. So 17th chapter Krishna says, charity. Datavyam iti yaddanam. Datavyam means it is worthy to give. Datavyam. Kartavya is something that should be done. So datavya is something that should be given. Datavyam iti yaddanam. Diyate anupakarine. Upkar nahi kar raha hu main aapke upar deke. So two things is mentioned. It is worthy of giving. So don't give something that is rejected. Charity is not something, I don't need this anymore. It is a waste at my home. It is just lying. That I give in charity. No. Something that is worthy of giving. Something that is nice to give. So in the previous part of the purport, there was this mentioned by Srila Jiva Goswami. Dushkarma cannot be offered. Sinful activities cannot be offered. Karoti yatta sakalam parasmai. Somebody will say, oh, can I offer my dirty desires to Krishna? Can I offer my bad habits to Krishna? So Jiva Goswami has clarified, no, something that is only worthy of giving, that only we should offer. Diyate anupakarine, deshe kalecha patrecha, give it to a worthy person at a proper time, in a proper situation, that is called satvikam danam, that is a good dan. And any other dan is rajasic or tamasic. So I have something that is a kshaya, that is always temporary. Better is I give it to somebody, a worthy person at a proper time, knowing it is my duty to give. Krishna has given me so much, the Supreme Lord has given me so much. Let me act as an instrument, let me not act as a godown, let me act as a shop. Godown is where things are stocked. Shop is somewhere where they are displayed and they are also given to others. So, charity is something that is very important. So one person, he writes, teaching a child not to kill the butterfly. We know in the story of Mandukya Muni, as a child he had this innocent habit. You know, he just pierced an insect. So sometimes I see children doing that. So teaching a child not to kill the butterfly is as good for the child as it is for the butterfly. So many times we feel, when I'm giving charity of money, when I'm giving charity of knowledge, when I'm giving charity of life, it is for the benefit of the recipient. No. It is not for the benefit of the recipient. Charity is for the benefit of the giver. The person who is giving the charity. Why? It makes my heart soft. It makes me detached. And then if that person who is receiving the charity, if he is benefited, if he is thankful, that's an extra benefit. We give charity for our benefit. So there are people who have done a lot of tapasya, especially when we talk of charity. One very famous person who's always associated with charity is an evil minded person actually, Karna. The only reason why he started giving charity is because he wanted to match the pious credits of Arjun. He's seeing, as far as skills are concerned, I match Arjun to some extent. But then one thing I do not match with Arjun, what is that? His heavy wealth of piety. He is a person who walks on dharma. How do I achieve more and more piety in less time? So charity is something which is very pious credit earning activity. So the only reason why he takes that oath of being a charitable person is with a very wrong intention. The whole goal of his life is to kill Arjun. To kill Arjun, if charity is important, I'll give in charity. So this is how we see how seemingly pious acts are done with the worst intentions. When Ravan is killed, because we are discussing about Ravan. So when Ravan is killed and Ravan's body is lying on the war field, then there is a description of how all his queens come from the palace. And then they are expressing their anguish. So one interesting point that Mandodari is explaining. Mandodari says, remember Ravan? At one point of time, you controlled your senses. She's pointing to the tapasya that he did. And then she says, after controlling your senses, you control the whole world. So somebody who is controlling his senses, what should be his intention? His intention should be to purify himself. Stay away from sense gratification. But then she is saying, remember, you conquered your senses. But after conquering your senses, you should have gone deeper. So what is that hierarchy? Senses, mind, intelligence, ego. So the actual direction should have been, I conquer my senses, then I conquer my mind, then I conquer my intelligence, then I conquer my ego, then I offer myself to the Supreme Lord. Then what happens to people with a wrong intention? They also start like that. It appears they are going in the inward direction, they are going in the direction of purity, they conquer their senses. But when they conquer their senses, Hiranyakashipu, Ravan, as soon as they conquer their senses, they do tapasya, then somebody appears, some demigod appears, they immediately change the direction. Now I'll tell you what is the right original intention of my tapasya. It was to actually not conquer inward, I wanted to conquer outward, but to conquer the outward, I can sometimes go inward. So she reminds, first you conquered your senses, then you conquered the world. So she uses the word, now those same senses, they remembered, acha, aapne humko ek bar dabaya tha kya? So now they have come together, and now they have rebelled against you, and they have caused your downfall. It's very interesting how she puts this argument. So datavyam means, it is for me. It is not with a wrong intention that I will give in charity so that then I can do what I've always wanted to do, but I was incapable of doing. She says, just see, I had a father like Maya, I had a husband like Ravan, and I have a son like Indrajit. And none of them can help me in this situation. Now I'm a widow. So what happened to all that bragging of yours? She's asking. She's asking Ravan's dead body. What happened to all that bragging of yours that nobody could kill you, nobody could destroy you? If you look in today's world, charity is encouraged. Charity is encouraged. But to whom? Many times it is to an unworthy person. Or we are talking of this enjoyment. Let's concentrate on that. Modern science, godless science, all that we do is so that you can improve your sensual enjoyment. And sometimes there are scientists who will undergo tapasya, who will spend sleepless nights, who are working hard in that sense. From a physical perspective, they are doing tapasya. But for what? To come up with some things that can actually enhance our sense gratification, that can actually give us more and more faith, you can continue enjoying in this world. There is no kshay. We will have akshay. So we have to be very careful. One devotee was mentioning yesterday how he asked this question to a fellow friend. He said, in my locker, I discovered some old currency notes. What should I do? So this another brahmachari, he told him, you put it in the hundi. This person said, what is the use? He said, no, at least from your side, you are giving it to Krishna. So, karoti yat tat sakalam parasam. Jo bhi hai mere paas. But then, you know, if you go deeper, then you would ask, can I offer something that is useless to Krishna? When it is encouraged to give to Krishna, it is not something that is of no use. It is something that is useful. So why is this devotee asking what to do with this? Because it is useless for him. Something that is useless for him is already detached inside now. He is just trying to find out the best way to camouflage that. So not like that. We have to actually give Krishna something that is worthy. Something that is valuable. Datavyam. जो देने के लिए योग्य है वो देना चाहिए जो देने के लिए अयोग्य है उसको नहीं देना चाहिए सो कृष्ण इज सेइंग पत्रम पुष्पम फलम तोयम यो मे भक्त्या प्रयच्छति सो वन सीनियर डिवोटी ऑफ अवर टेंपल ही वाज स्पीकिंग ऑन दिस श्लोक वन टाइम देन ही सेड एक्चुअली व्हाट इज पत्रम पुष्पम फलम तोयम सो ही मेंशन्ड पत्रम इज ए लीफ बट डीपर मीनिंग ऑफ दिस इज लॉन्ग बैक स्क्रिप्चर्स वर रिटन नॉट ऑन पेपर स्क्रिप्चर्स वर रिटन ऑन लीव्स ऑफ a particular tree, and then those leaves were dried and then they were etched. So patram means Krishna is saying, every day, can you offer one page of the scriptures to me? Would you read one page of the scriptures as an offering to me? That is patram. If you can't do that, at least offer one leaf to me. Tulsi leaf to kar do, simple hai, It does not cost. Then he mentioned Pushpam. What is Krishna saying? Pushpam. Krishna is saying, all of us, you know, sadhaka bhaktas, budding. Yes, we are a bud. And if we expose ourselves to the sun, and if we continue to receive nourishment, so if we expose ourselves to the Supreme Lord, and if we keep nourishing ourselves in the association of devotees from bottom, then we'll flower. The bud will become a flower. It means, would you like to offer me a ever-growing devotee? Compare yourself with what you were 1 week back. Is there growth? What I was on Akshaya Tritiya 2016 and what I am on Akshaya Tritiya 2017. Is there a change? If there is a change, positive change, it means the bud is flowering. It means somewhere you are in a healthy situation, you are taking good association of devotees, and you are also exposing yourself to Krishna, the Supreme Lord. What if, you know, I find out I am worse? So somewhere something went wrong. I hid myself from Krishna, or I am running away from the devotees and just exposing myself to Krishna. So only sun, you will dry. Only water, no sun, you get spoiled. Both are required. Devotees are also required. Krishna is also required. The spiritual master's association is also required. So if you are in the right way, you will flower. So would you like to offer that budding, flowering flower to Krishna? It's very difficult for me. It's very difficult for me to continue to grow. Okay, at least offer a physical flower to Krishna. Phalam is fruit. Yes. So he was saying how, whatever you do in life, and a devotee is supposed to do only the worthy things. Devotee is expected not to get into unworthy things. So always be discriminative. Is this good for me? Is this not good for me? I'm a sadhaka bhakta. I'm not a pure devotee. I can't risk one moment and then entering like a needle and coming out like a plow. Some days back, one devotee sent a small story from Srila Prabhupada. This devotee was sharing how Prabhupada would often give this example. So Prabhupada is saying how sometimes we are traveling in a train in a country like India. It's all packed. And one very skinny looking person comes and looks at you in a very, very anticipatory way. Thoda jaga milega kya? Looks innocent. And you say, yes, come. And you just squeeze yourself a little bit. It's difficult, but you are a kind-hearted person. You are a Vaishnava. Vaishnava means open to everyone. So you allow that skinny person to come. And as soon as he comes, somehow, you know, he just wiggles himself inside and expands himself a little bit. He makes himself comfortable. Then out of the blue, he indicates to somebody, there is a small child. Oh, beta. He also comes and sits. You are wondering what happened. Then he calls another child. He also sits. Slowly you find out this skinny man has 4 children. All of them are sitting. You are almost on the edge of the seat. And then he calls his fat wife. Say, "Aa bhi aaiye." And as soon as he just touches the seat, you are off the seat. So Prabhupada used this example to mention how actually Maya Devi enters into a devotee's life in this way. She never comes in a grand way. I am illusion personified. No. Actually, she is a very favorable, seemingly. Very nice, very cooperative. You know, she is there to help you in your sadhana. Yes. Just a small, I won't use the word, yes. But then all of us have our own struggles where we feel this can be used in Krishna consciousness. And then we end up being used by that thing. Takes time. So, phalam is, you know, the fruits. We have to be very careful. Discriminatory. So, jo bhi yogya hai, usko hum Bhagwan ko arpan kar sakte hai. Nahi kar sakte aap. You are attached to your fruits of your actions. Okay, at least offer a physical fruit. That is also, so, very interestingly, patram is actually given by Krishna only to us. Pushpam is originally given by Krishna only. Phalam is also given by Krishna only. And then toyam is also Krishna only. Krishna is saying, if you can't offer something of your own, at least for namesake, offer something that I have given to you, back to me. And the fourth thing is toyam, is water. So this devotee was explaining how, ideally we should go in front of Krishna every day and cry tears. In prayers. I am stuck up in a difficult situation. Please help me. Please give me strength. Please give me intelligence. Please give me shelter of devotee association. Can't do that? No problem. At least offer some physical water. So, This is something which Krishna is saying, patram pushpam phalam toyam. But then there is a higher standard of it, which involves dātavyam iti yaddanam. Not as an upkar. Actually, when we don't give to Krishna, what does the third chapter say? When we don't offer to representatives of Krishna or demigods, he says, stena evasa. Just to be called a gentleman in this world, we should give to Krishna. Otherwise, Krishna is saying, anybody who just enjoys, he is a thief. So don't give, you're a thief. It starts with giving. So somebody who's giving to Krishna is not some great personality. It is the beginning of gentlemanliness. One time, one devotee, Rukmini Mataji, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, she was discussing with Srila Prabhupada. She asked a question to Prabhupada. She said, Prabhupada, you say that Lord Chaitanya is Lord Krishna. Yes. And Lord Krishna has six opulences. So kindly tell me how Lord Chaitanya also has six opulences. Then Prabhupada explained how Lord Chaitanya had a very beautiful body. And this body was so attractive. He had such amazing knowledge. Aishwaryasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Yashasya, Shriya. As Nimai Pandit, he was unrivaled. But then Srila Prabhupada said, actually, as Lord Chaitanya, Krishna emphasized a lot on the sixth opulence. That is Vairagya, renunciation. And he then explained how Lord Chaitanya, he actually emphasized on the sixth opulence. And then, we are his followers. The Kali Yuga, Yuga avatar is Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya is teaching us, in Kali Yuga especially, there will be so many obstructions, so many allurements for sense enjoyment. Vairagya Vidya, Nija Bhakti Yoga. So Vairagya Vidya is important for those who want to do Bhakti Yoga. This Vairagya is favorable Vairagya. This is not whimsical Vairagya. Again, Yogya. What is Yogya? Why should a person be encouraged to start offering? So here it is mentioned, anusruta swabhavat. Even your conditioned nature, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has clarified, even your brushing of your teeth, the activity of brushing your teeth, the activity of clearing yourself in the morning, bathing yourself in the morning, clarified by Vishwanath Chakravarti, even that should be offered. That should be anusruta swabhavat. Conditioned nature should be offered. Why? Because the sadhaka devotee, he is actually on the platform of komal shraddha. He has just now developed a small bit of faith. He needs a pat on the back. Not all of us are on dhrida shraddha, shastriya shraddha. So most of us, you know, we have started off, and if Krishna does not encourage, if devotees do not encourage, if the Bhagavatam does not encourage us to offer it to Krishna, we'll end up offering it to somebody. So in any relationship, I have seen how typically it starts with, what can this person give to me? That is how the relationship starts. And then as the relationship gets thickened more and more, even in ordinary relationships, a young boy says to a young girl, I want to offer you something. That is how you please that person. So initially it may start with, what can Krishna as a powerful person give to me? But then that komal shraddha has to be encouraged. So Krishna is saying, please give to me. Yad karoshi, yad ashnasi, please give to me. That is how he is saying, see, you gave to me? Very nice. He is receiving that emotional pat on the back. And then slowly he can get encouraged. And then he comes closer and closer. His Holiness Gaur Govind Swami Maharaj, he mentions a very nice story in this connection. Saying, after Mahabharata war, when Krishna has established Yudhishthir Maharaj on the throne, one day Krishna and Arjun are just moving around in some garden area. And by this time, it is mentioned how Arjun was thinking, actually I am very fortunate that Krishna chose me to speak the Gita. We have seen how Krishna also put Arjun in illusion in the first chapter. That is not his constitutional nature, that is his occasional, accidental nature for teaching us all the Gita. So similarly here, you know, Arjun is playing that part, that oh, I am fortunate that I have received the Gita. One time His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was explaining how, even before the Ras Leela, it is mentioned how the gopis thought, oh, we are so fortunate, Krishna is giving us his personal association. How can the gopis think like that? It is to teach us through that pastime that we should never feel proud of this fortune of Krishna's association. So if Krishna is giving us association, it is his greatness. But how will somebody teach us who has never received Krishna's association? Humility can be taught by those who have a chance to become proud.
If somebody does not have a chance to become proud and he is humble, we will not learn from that humility. We'll say this is forced on him. Somebody who has a chance to become proud, when that person becomes humble, then we understand the value of humility. So the gopis acted as if they are proud. Similarly here, Arjuna is acting as if he is thinking, I am fortunate. Krishna spoke the Gita to me personally. And Krishna detects that. So Krishna wants to teach him a lesson. So in the distance he says, there was a dead body. And the dead body had a jackal next to it. And this jackal was only sniffing the body. He was not eating it. So Arjun for a moment thought, let me teach this jackal that actually this dead body can be eaten. You don't know how to eat. So they stop. And Krishna detects that. So Krishna, before anything can happen, he says, oh jackal, please come here. And jackal is a nice jackal. He comes, sits. He says, yes, my dear master. He says, what are you doing? He says, no, I am trying to sniff this body. So, but why are you not eating? He says, actually I was sniffing the hands of this body to find out, in his whole life, did he do some puja to the Supreme Lord? Did he offer something to the Supreme Lord? I was sniffing his head to find out, did he ever even once bow down to the Supreme Lord? I was sniffing his eyes to find out, did he ever see the form of a pure devotee? Did he ever see the form of the Supreme Lord in the temple? I was sniffing his legs to find out, did he ever even once make a journey to a holy place? He says, we are jackals, but we also have some standard. So we are born in a low species, but we can't do dharma. We can't do many of the things that human beings can do. So what we do is we try to compensate for that by only feeding on those bodies who have some pious credits. So in that way, we are increasing our pious credits. So then Arjun understood, no, it's not just about the externals, it's about the internal mood. So this is how, you know, whoever we are, if we actually deeply internalize these principles in a jackal's body also, in Gajendra's body also, we can offer ourselves to the Supreme. Nobody can say, I am such a low person. These are these examples. Jatayu, low bird. Jackal, low animal. Elephant is considered to be a very dull animal. So all these examples are there to encourage us. Karoti yat sakalam parasmi. Offer it to the Supreme Lord. And then what is the even a higher renunciation than this? So Srila Prabhupada, one time he was speaking to Pushta Krishna Maharaj. And he was saying how, do as I do. So what does it mean, do as I do? Most of us will think, we will speak in a very strong, cutting way like Prabhupada spoke. That is, do as I do. But other than his talks on the Vyasasana, did Prabhupada do other things also? So Prabhupada clarified. He said, sometimes I'm cleaning. Sometimes I'm cooking. Sometimes I'm managing. In this way, I have done whatever is necessary for pleasing Krishna. It's not that because I'm guru, I'm only restricting my activities to giving classes from the Vyasasana and receiving garlands. Whatever is necessary, we should be able to do. This is the, you know, that is the Vairagya, is one from sense enjoyment, then from the objects, then, you know, even from ego. So this is the highest thing, that as a sannyasi, what am I supposed to do? Here it was mentioned, anybody in the varnashram system, he has duties. So, is it that sannyasis don't have any duties? No, sannyasis also have duties. Brahmacharis have duties. Grihasthas have duties. Vanaprasthas have duties. Who is duty-less? Duty-free is only a foreign concept. Duty-free shops are foreign concept. Everyone in India has a duty, allotted duty. So, Prabhupada is saying, what is the highest duty of a Vaishnava? So a Vaishnava, is he a Shudra? Yes. Why? Because he will serve others. Paricharya. Is he a Vaishya? Yes. In some situations he has to think about money. He has to handle, he has to save money for Krishna, for the temple. He has to think about donations for the temple. Is he a Kshatriya? Yes. He has to get into management if there is a need and if he can do it. Who'll run? Who'll organize? And is he also expected to function as a Brahman? Is he expected to function as a Brahman if he can do it? So we are not saying one has to do. Prabhupada is saying we should try to do. If it is possible, we should be flexible enough to function as a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra all with this mood that naham vipro na chandrapatir na pi vaisho na shudra. So constitutionally I am not that, but conditionally right now this is the need of the institution, this is the need of the situation, it is important for me to do this. So Prabhupada is saying whatever is necessary we should do. This is what it means to understand this line, do as I did. It's not just his classes, do as I did, but his whole life is an example. One of another disciples of Srila Prabhupada explains how Prabhupada was just so tolerant. Because many times we have seen this chastising pastimes of Prabhupada, how he just spoke straight. But this devotee was mentioning how, so she has given examples. This is Lakshmi Moni Mataj. So she's saying, in Toronto temple, we had small Radha Krishna deities. We didn't have these big deities. So we used to offer little prasad to little Krishna. If we are young, we are immature. Chote Bhagwan hai, to chote Bhagwan ko kam kam prasad dena chahiye. So we used to offer little puris. We used to offer little samosas. We used to offer little. Prabhupada saw it. Prabhupada said, "It's the deity is small. It is the same Krishna. And Krishna in any form, maybe a miniature form, even as Paramatma or the Virat Roop, he eats like a 16-year-old, well-fed, good digestive capacity boy. So feed him nicely. Don't feed him little puris and little samosas." She's saying how in LA, one time Prabhupada came, Prabhupada saw during offering time, the pujari was running back and forth inside the altar. So he said, "What is this?" So he said, "Prabhupada, we are offering hot chapatis to Krishna." So not to blame them, but Prabhupada would eat like that. Because of his old age, he needed hot chapatis. So one chapati would get cooked, it would be brought. That's how Prabhupada. So their understanding was Prabhupada eats chapatis like that, so Krishna also. Imagine running back and forth. So Prabhupada said, no, not like that. Yes, you offer everything and leave him to have that. Then she says, in Buffalo Temple in USA, she says, we had Jagannath Baldev Subhadra deities. And once in 2 weeks, we would take Jagannath off the altar and then there was a tub of hot soapy water. And we would put Jagannath inside. So it's a wooden deity. They would put in hot soapy water and clean him nicely. And then she says we had a towel and then we would clean him, wipe him and then put him back on the altar. So then Prabhupada heard that. Prabhupada said, no, you have to bathe him every day. And the way to bathe wooden deities is not like you bathe metal deities. So she says, how Prabhupada has all these pastimes of being very strict, but he was just so tolerant because he understood we are immature. This is do as I did. You speak what is necessary, but give unlimited space for people to grow. So while speaking, you don't compromise. Because if while speaking also you compromise, then who will speak the truth? So while speaking, you speak the truth, but when you allow people to have their space and you allow people to grow. If you see a person advancing in the right direction, speed does not matter. He may be crawling, he may be running, he may be jogging, but is he on the right direction? Is he exposing himself to the nourishment from devotees? Is he exposing himself to the sun, to the Supreme Lord? Then it is definitely necessary. And then one thing it was mentioned in the purport by Srila Jiva Goswami. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, when one becomes very much attracted to hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord and not merely to offering him the fruits of one's work, one has attained a stage called Swarupa Siddha Bhakti. The example may be given that although any good citizen will pay his taxes to the government, he may not necessarily love the government or its leaders. Similarly, we have to understand, this is just the start. This is not the end. Karoti yatta sakalam parasmai, finally it has to mature to a stage where you become attracted to the person to whom you are offering everything. See his magnanimity. One leaf, one flower, one fruit, some water. What is there so great in that? But he's saying, thank you so much. Ashnami prayatatmana, I'll eat it. That is magnanimity. So finally, we come to the highest standard is that give your ears to Krishna. If it is possible, give your ears to Krishna. Give your attentive ears to Krishna. Hear attentively about Krishna. Why? The more you hear about Krishna, the more you will feel, I never knew this about this person. I never knew he was so attractive. And then it will just become easy for us. It will become natural for us. We'll consider it our fortune that we are getting a chance to offer to Krishna. So sound is something that actually, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, that is the factor from where it becomes, from a conditioned stage, From a student stage, the swarupa siddhavati. So, you know, it comes with some bit of maturity comes. What did Ramanand Rai and Lord Chaitanya Samvad, when did he say, Eho hoye? He said, Sthane sthita shruti katam tanuvan manabari. Before that, whatever was spoken, spoke about sarvadharman paritajya also. But Lord Chaitanya said, Eho bhaiya. Even that full surrender was Eho bhaiya. But when he gave his ears, shruti katam. So when we start hearing about Krishna, although it looks very simple, अरे ये देखो ये व्यक्ति तो बहुत कुछ दे रहा है लेकिन सुन नहीं रहा है कभी. He never comes to classes, he never attends programs, he does not associate with devotees for Shravanam, he never does Bodhayanta Parasparam. According to Krishna, according to Lord Chaitanya, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, according to the Bhagavatam standard, that is a low standard. He's offered everything, but he is not ready to offer his ears to Krishna. On the other hand, acharyas are telling us with their mature wisdom, somebody is offering his attentive ears to Krishna Katha, to Krishna Naam, very soon it will become very easy for him to offer everything to Krishna. He will not offer it just the physical objects, he will offer his internal patram, pushpam, phalam and toyam. So anavritti shabdat. Finally, real liberation, the last sutra of the Vedanta Sutra is, it comes by sound. So sound is something that is freely available in every ISKCON temple. There are so many classes going on, there are so many associations going on. Let us take advantage of this. This is Akshay. Sound never dies. The inspiration that comes from sound never dies. And that's why there are so many prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is not just full of descriptions of Krishna's form. It is not just descriptions of Krishna's Leela. It is also prayers by struggling devotees. So many prayers where they are offering sound, please help me come closer to you, please let me develop some attraction to you. So in the beginning we discussed what is Kshay and Akshay. This world is naturally Kshay, but then the only way to do Akshay, we thought, is the demigods, they are Amara. Then we saw how Akshay Patra also had a condition. Then we saw Akshay Kumar was killed by Hanuman. Then we said charity is actually something that is supposed to be given, not unworthy of giving. So old currency notes, they are valueless. Better not to give. But yes, from an external perspective, you could give. Then we saw how even somebody like Ravan, Hiranyakashipu, they thought they were Akshay, but then they were Kshay. Then we saw Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. Then we saw how that jackal also has some standards. So no matter who we are, we always have hope to offer. We saw how Prabhupada, he renounced even the renunciation. That's a very high standard, that's not to be imitated. But if we know the North Star, that is something that we aspire for. There are some things which a sannyasi does not do. Getting into marriage ceremonies, getting into counseling of wedded couples, doing a marriage for somebody who already has a child. And that's what Prabhupada did. So he's saying, whatever is necessary for Krishna, we should be ready to do, we should be flexible to do. And then at the last we saw how sound is something that can actually bring us to the mature stage as per Srila Jiva Goswami, as per Lord Brahma, as per Lord Chaitanya. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.